Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. We'd like to wish everyone a very, very special good morning. We don't have bright sunshine here in Salina this morning, but we don't have any rain after getting quite a bit of rain yesterday, and I think we're looking forward maybe to getting some more today. I know we've had some flooding all around us, some school closings down here because of flooding, but nothing like that in Clay County right now. So we're proud to get the rain, but we probably didn't get too much yet. But it's a pleasure to be here again this morning here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kick Country as we come to you live and in living color every Tuesday or every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock with a broadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And, of course, like I said, we may get interrupted on some of those because it's right now getting close to district regional basketball tournaments, so that may preempt us on some things. But we'll still be streamed, of course, on the Del Hollow Horizon website. So we'd like to invite everyone, if they'd like to listen to some of the old radio shows, to go on there and take a look at that and take a listen. And we've got an interesting show coming up this morning. As soon as the county mayor gets here, Mayor Reagan should be here just in a few minutes. We've got quite a few important things to talk about here going on here in the county. And then, of course, I want to remind everyone that this show is made possible through the auspices of the 3-Star Program, the Clay County Chamber, and, of course, all of our great sponsors that help make this possible each Thursday morning. And with that, I'll tell you what, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes after we get in a few words.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Mayor Dale Reagan's on his way up. I think he's had maybe a couple of errands he had to take care of this morning before we came by, but we've got quite a few things we can do here while we're waiting his arrival. I want to remind everyone that district tournaments are getting ready to start here in basketball here at Clay County High School. And along that same line, we'd like to tell everyone that our Salina K-8 Junior High boys basketball team just posted back-to-back victories in the James C. Hale State Tournament down in Murfreesboro. Our junior high boys won again, and I think they went through the season maybe with only a couple of losses and managed to bring that big gold ball back again to Clay County as they did last year. So we'd like to congratulate all those young men. And with that, as I said, the district tournament's getting ready to start. And the I guess the way it's set up now that on Monday night next week, our girls will play a home game. And I believe that will begin at 7 o'clock, I think. You know, normal game time has been 6 o'clock during the regular season, but I think these start at 7. And then on Tuesday night, the boys, who finished number one in the district, and our girls finished number two seed in the district, so they get to play a home game in the first round of the district tournament, and then the semifinals and the finals move over to White County High School over in Sparta, Tennessee. And then if they're lucky enough to get through those and go on to the next round, we've got to move over into East Tennessee, I think, maybe over in Sequatchie County, somewhere over in there. So we'll have to travel a pretty good ways over to our regional tournament this year. So we'd like to remind everyone that that's coming up. And let's see. We have got, how about the day in history? We've got a couple of things here that we can talk about in that. Beginning, the first thing I've got here in 1839 on this day, and this, I guess this applies to the folks across over in Kentucky more than it does us, even though our county is named after this gentleman, Henry Clay, who was a presidential candidate for a number of times, and he pretty well carried out this statement throughout each one of his campaigns. He declared in the United States Senate that he'd rather be right than president. And he managed to keep that true for a number of presidential elections. Never did make it to the top office, but he did run a number of years. And then 1893, I kind of found this interesting since it is basketball season time. In 1893, Vanderbilt University says it participated in the first organized intercollegiate basketball game at the Nashville YMCA Gymnasium. And Vanderbilt beat the YMCA folks 9-3. And I think this is back in the day when they actually played with baskets. And each time the team would throw the ball into the basket, they had to stop, get a step ladder out, and get the ball out of the basket. They still had the bottom end of the basket. And then after they scored a basket, they brought the ball back to the center line and threw it up and had a jump ball again. So, teams didn't score a whole lot in those days, but that is the beginning of what we see now, that, you know, that smooth, well-organized game we're able to watch on TV about, if we want to, about 65 or 70 games every night. But this is where they say that the collegiate game began, Vanderbilt, 1893. And I thought this one was kind of interesting also, growing up with seeing these things, even though it did premiered before my birth in 1940, Walt Disney's second feature-length movie premiered in New York City, Pinocchio. Of course, this followed the premiere of Snow White a few years before that. So the movie Pinocchio had been around a long time. I know it's been digitally remastered and re-edited and all those things, and it's still around, and young folks are still enjoying seeing that. And this next one, I can remember looking at the films of this. In 1945, General Douglas MacArthur returned to Manila in the Philippines. I know a few years before, when the Japanese ran us out of the Philippines, of course, General MacArthur made the pledge that he would return. And then when he did return, they had the filmmakers there, and they got him, you know, stepping off of the landing boat with all the soldiers, him out front walking in the ocean water up about his knee, you know, with his hand up, declaring to the people of Manila that he had returned. And of course, we did retake the Philippines, and of course, we went on and won the war. And let's see, going back over into sports for a minute, in 1949, Joe DiMaggio became the first $100,000 a year baseball player. He signed for $100,000 with the New York Yankees, and the sports world thought, you know, that it had come to an end, that money had taken over the game. We're now paying someone $100,000 a year, which is probably more than the president was making it in those days. And then in 1962, jumping up a little bit, this is a major news happening at that time. And it just so happened along about this time, I was about, 18 years old and draft eligible. And it was a scary time for all of us. The U.S. President John F. Kennedy began the blockade of Cuba by banning all Cuban imports and exports into the island of Cuba after it was taken over and set up as a communist regime by Fidel Castro. And this eventually turned into basically what remained a Cold War with the United States and Russia, who was an ally of course, Fidel Castro. And we came down to the point where we actually had the missiles pointed at each other because the Russians had set up missile bases on the island of Cuba, and President Kennedy had given them a warning that if they didn't remove them, that he would. And at this time, it's one of the times in history with the Soviet Union that the Soviet premier, Nikita Khrushchev, actually backed down and backed off of it, and they removed their missile bases, and we removed some missiles over in Europe that were there in some of the NATO countries. We had missiles next to them. We had some there. If they fell, they probably would have fallen over into Russia, but we made a deal, and both of us gave it and avoided looked like going to be a nuclear showdown, but we managed to get through that. And then I guess this one kind of... this kind of news item, it kind of struck me as maybe what we thought, maybe how important the Beatles were at this time in 1965. One of the headlines of this day, that George Harrison had had his tonsils removed, and the music world was afraid that that might affect his singing voice, and it might have some type of effect on the unity of the Beatles. So George Harrison and the Beatles, I guess, were fairly important in 1965. And I kind of like this one. I remember this one also. In 1969, this is Tom Jones, debuted on ABC TV. Tom Jones was a Welsh singer who was a fairly good-looking feller, I guess. And he had a TV show here, and he had concerts all over the country and all over the world. And the common practice at one of Tom Jones' concerts were the young ladies in the front row threw undergarments up on the stage for him, which did create just a little bit of news. But that was his trademark. All the young ladies left some of their undergarments for him on the stage. And I like this one. 1974. This is one of the, one of my favorite movies. It is one of the greatest pieces of satire ever. Ever produced, and you've got to watch it time and time after again to catch all the little sneaky, semi-dirty jokes that were worked into this movie. It's called Blazing Saddles, starring Cleavon Little and Gene Wilder, and it had, NFL football players in it. It was just an absolute satire, and as I said, it takes time and time again to go through and watch that, but that's one of my favorites of all times, and I think... lots of young folks are still watching that, and I know there are numerous college courses, Dale, that are taught on this film. So,
a lot can be learned from it, I guess.
I'm not sure exactly what you can learn, but I'll tell you what, we're going to conclude that with our history today. We're going to take a little short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss some stuff going on here in the county with Mayor Dale Reagan. We'll be right back.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me. You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Mayor Reagan, good morning.
Good morning.
I think one of the gals down at the office let me know that you were on your way, that you got detained just a second.
Just a little bit. Thank you, Thomas, for the opportunity. It's always good to come up and when we have the opportunity to talk to you and to certainly keep our citizens of the county updated on the happenings of the government. And thank you again for the opportunity this morning.
Hey, it's great to have you here with us. I think it's been a couple, 3 months since I talked to you. I think it's the last time you were up here that Kevin was.
I think he was. I think he was emceeing it that day.
I snuck off for a day, I guess.
You have to every now and then. I understand that.
Okay, I think we've had a meeting recently.
We did. Monday night, the county commission met in regular session on Monday night, and they went over the agenda. They had some motions to approve. Of course, as always, the county commission meeting of last month, and also motions to approve the planning commission minutes, and also had a motion that we do this every year for the county commission to keep them informed and update them on our debt management policy that we have here in the county, as well as it's a requirement that we have to do for Dr. Young and them through the three-star program. And we did that, and the county commission accepted as far as any amendments or changes to our debt management policy, there isn't any, but the commission, we have to make them aware of it every year, and we give them a copy of that policy, and then it goes into the minutes when we did that, so Dr. Young can use that whenever he is applying for grants such things as that, you know, through the three-star.
And I know we have some grant money right now that we need to get spent, I think. I know he's mentioned, I know it's some signage for things for the city here to, you know, to make folks aware of some of the things that are in the city and things. I know that one's going on, and I think maybe we still have some of the frontage grants where you can improve the appearance of your building.
Right, and I know he said the other day when we were in a meeting at the ECD board meeting out there that he still, that some of that money was still available, as well as he is still looking for interested parties that would help him, like on each individual building here, to give a history of that building so that he can get a plaque made and I think can be put on the outside of your building to give you the history of when the building was built, who built it, and such things as what's been occupied in it over the past few years. And he said he's not been very successful to get anybody to do that yet, but he's still a begging for people to come up and help him and give him some information. So it is very informative, you know. If you're I know in Cookeville and Oldtown, a lot of their buildings down there has those on the walls on the outside that where the you walk up and, you know, it's interesting to read, you know, that how long they've been there and what all has occupied over
there. Right. You know, that, to me, that would be the neat thing. You know, what did this building start out as and
yeah.
where it is now and all the transformations and that type of thing that it's gone through.
And I know you had, a big hand in helping us get the plaque that was dedicated to the building here. And it's on the outside of the building. And, Thomas, I appreciate you for doing that. And so it's on the outside here of the building. It's people that comes by And I know we've said this many, many times that there's not very few days that don't go by that we don't have somebody driving around and they'll just stop and just get up and walk and look. And I've seen them standing out there looking at it, even taking pictures of it and everything.
And I'm getting ready, and with the help of Dr. Young, I think maybe going to submit a proof for us, a sign where we can put a sign telling the folks that the historic Clay County Courthouse is straight ahead. Maybe have a sign over the end of the bridge and one over the one coming from Burksville and the one coming from Livingston with an arrow saying go straight ahead and you can see the historic Clay County Courthouse.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
And I know there's a whole lot of things going on, but getting back to the agenda.
We have the motion to accept the trustee's report, and Charlie always gives a report of the finances of the county to the commission every quarter. And we had that, and they accepted that and approved that. And any time that anyone wants to know the finances of the county, they can either contact my office or certainly contact the trustee's office, and he can give them a report, an update on that.
While you're in there paying your land taxes, you can go by and check with Charlotte. That's I'm going to remind folks of that now. It's February.
Yeah.
You get down there and pay your land taxes.
Yeah, it's getting close to that time, and I know. And I used to be the same way. I think, well, the 28th of February was your debt, you know, was when it was due. And that's just a grace period. It's due whenever, you know, they send the cards out, and sometime in October, I think. But you have the liberty, you know, to over the about 3 months period there, I guess, November, December, January, and February. So, but the deadline is February 28th, and then after that deadline, that's when those penalties starts being put on you. So,
and you get your name in the paper.
Yeah, I don't know if they do that now.
I don't think so either.
No, I believe they quit doing that. But I mean,
through some old papers the other day and ran across one of those where they had a big long list of all the old.
Oh yeah, tax. Yeah. But I don't think they do that anymore or anything. But yeah, go and certainly visit Charlie and Angie down there. They do an outstanding job, and I appreciate everything that they do. And resolutions that we had, Thomas, we had about six resolutions to take in consideration and to approve. And a couple of them, resolution one and two, was a budget amendment for the County General Purpose School Fund. And it was just transferring some funds from one line item to the other. And anytime you do that, you know, you have to, if it's not already been designated for that fund, you've got to, and if it's not in the budget, in the line item, anytime you change that, you have to go back before the county commission, and they have to give approval to do that and everything.
Well, you still have to explain to folks sometimes that you're not giving them more money, that you're just switching their money.
Moving money around from one line item to the other, and because, I mean, you know, that sometimes, and especially in the school system, they get a lot of state and federal funding, and two, they get grant funding, you know, that comes available from time to time on different things. And when that happens, you know, in order for it to, when it comes in, ACH, they ask, well, what department or line item do you need me to put this in? And if it's not been, you know, put in there in the budget process, then if they have to move it around, that has to be approved by the county commission when they do that.
And I know sometimes that our officials get, you know, they get questioned about, well, you know, they look and they see a certain amount of money in a certain place, like with the school system, you know, they've got a grant to do this, and folks look around and say, well, we need to do this over school, why can't we do this? All of those things come with the stipulation that they must be spent in a particular way, don't they?
Yes, and they do in there. I don't know, and you know, audit don't like for you to use the statement earmarked, but I mean, you know, I still find myself doing that. But
designated
funds, that's what they want you to do. But yes, and they do a good job, Ashley and all of them out there at school, to get that put in the proper, you know, category to where it needs to be. And, of course, all that goes before the school board, too. And then it gets brought on down to the county commission to finalize it.
You are the county commission. They are the ultimate voices, aren't they?
Yes. And to approve anything that they do as far within their budget. They can't tell them.
Right.
They can't dictate what they do. But
they can approve or disapprove what they do.
Yes, that's what the school board, that's their job to, you know, make the decisions as far as the funding, where it needs to be and everything.
And basically everything the school board gets is as designated spending.
It is. I'd say probably, and even in county budgets, 75 to 80% of it, you don't have a whole lot of control over. I mean, it's already earmarked and it's mandated, and a lot of funds are. And it's some of those where we get in trouble at, and where I don't like is some of those unfunded mandates that get
right.
handed down to us from time to time, and you don't have a whole lot of say over those. You can, I mean, you can shout, you know, and scream about it, but the legislators are, you know, a lot of the laws has done been put into place for a lot of those funds to be used, and a whole lot you can do about that.
And of course, a lot of funded things that we get later become unfunded, don't they? We receive the
yep.
burden for some great programs that we don't want to lose, that we have to come up with money that started out we didn't have to have, but now we do.
You have to be very careful and very conscious of a lot of your grant funds and stuff that you get, that, especially if it's something that, if it's going to be a reoccurring cost, you certainly need to sit down and think about that. You know, are
the ability to keep it.
Yes, if we're creating a position, and if that be the case, this is only going to be funded for a year, maybe 2 years at the most. Then after that, what are we going to do? You know, are we going to get rid of that position, or are we going to try to come up with, when they give you that funds, whatever you do, they want you to use them in a fashion to where that it can be an ongoing program. But you have to take it in consideration. Are we going to be able to afford that, you know, when the funds stops coming?
Okay. But I tell you what, let's take a little short break here, and this will probably be a good time to read off our birthdays for today.
Okay.
Take a little short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. I think I've got this one right. Miss Jaden Grace Cox, celebrating the fourth birthday this week. And this is called in by Nana and Pa and Crystal Reagan. I think I got four calls on this one. I think that's celebrating this week. And also this week, celebrating Wendell Cherry, celebrating a birthday. And this sounds like his mother Anita calling this one in. And then Anita herself is celebrating a birthday on the 7th this week, and I think her husband Don sounded like his voice of calling this one in. And also, we'd like to wish Tony Day a happy birthday this week. And we want to remind everyone that the number to call to get your name on this list is 243-5574. And so remember that, 243-5574. And I think this, maybe the city of Salina is here sponsoring this now, since we lost our sponsorship with the Dairy Queen.
Okay, well, we appreciate that.
And the city. So get your name on the list, and we'll draw a name out here in a minute and present this week's winner with one of the Dairy Queen cards. But with that, we'll be back just in a moment.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination. Our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
and we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Mayor Reagan is still with me.
Absolutely.
We still got lots of stuff yet to go, haven't we, Mayor? I'm just going to let you dig right back in and start up again. But now, I'll tell you what, you got a reminder there, and we'll give this little reminder real quick and remind the folks. I know we announced it earlier, but I guess this may deserve to announce. The junior high boys basketball team.
Yeah, we certainly want to give them a shout out that they won their second straight James C. Hale state champion.
And I believe it was in triple overtime, I believe I saw. They had to go to three overtimes to pull this one out.
That was a battle then.
Yes,
and but I certainly want to extend my congratulations to them and everything. They're an outstanding group.
And I think you'll probably make that official here sometime before one of the meetings.
I'd say we will. Certainly will. And we were talking about the school thing, the couple of them, and I think he did. We pretty much touched on that. But also we want to continue on with our resolutions. We had a resolution to approve the appointments of the Clay County Park and Recreation Board, and we had a couple of new members that the park had made a recommendation to the county commission to appoint them to the board, and which was Carla Rich and Ryan Cherry. And so the commissioners they approved that, and that gets confusing sometimes. And we have a park board. And we also have the county commission approves recommendations that the park board makes. And one of the recommendations that they make is the appointments of some of the board members that they have, and all of the board members that are on there. So it's made up of about 11 board members, and three or four of those are county commissioners. I think three are county commissioners at this time. So
that's great too, because they need to know exactly what's going on.
They do. You have representation that way, you know, for the county commission, and especially, you know, when they go to the park board meetings, and then they can relay the meetings back to the county commission. And so Ms. Turner is the director over there now, and she answers to the park board. And so that's kind of how that chain of command, I guess what you might say. And, of course, Ms. Dean Walden is the president of the park board. And I'm thinking, if I'm not mistaken, Ms. Dean may be also the president of the fire board.
See, that's another board sometimes that folks get. There are actually two boards over there.
Yeah.
And one of them has the specific chore of the fire.
Exactly. And they're
has an overall.
Right. And they're an independent board. They're regulated through the State Department of Fire, the committee, the
right.
State Fire Board. And that's who they're regulated through. And the county commission don't have any, you know, any say in their board like that, because they're appointed by that group.
That's our separation of government, isn't it?
I guess it is, and they do a good job.
Yes,
I mean, we have a good fire every year, and Lord willing, we look forward to another one this coming year and everything. So I commend everybody that wants to step up to the plate and become a part of our boards and committees. And,
don't have to be a member of any of those to come over and help out, do you?
No, you don't. It's all volunteer when it comes to that. And we certainly appreciate everyone's efforts in that. And also had a resolution to approve the appointment of the Clay County Agriculture Extension Office, or board committee. And that committee does, the board is made up of different categories as far as, I think there's three county commissioners, and I'm saying this, and I may get some of it wrong, and I apologize if I do. There's two or three county commissioners that are, by rule, they sit on that board. And then you got to have someone that's got to be a farm woman, and then a farmer, it sets on it, and just there's different categories there that qualify you to sit on that board. And the one that they appointed on that board was a county commissioner, Anthony Bowles. I believe that's right. And because Anthony is got a and the agriculture board, UT, of course, Haley and him is doing a real good job to get a lot of things, and they're doing a lot of activities and stuff. And we've got with 4-H.
Right.
And that's what it all, a lot of it boils back down to. And she's very active in that, and we certainly appreciate her and her staff and everything. They work hard, you know, to extend the invitations out there to our youngsters and get them involved with agriculture here in the county.
And we just, I guess the University of Tennessee just hired a new extension agent.
They did, yeah.
It looks like that she might be with us a long time after we're gone, Dale.
Yeah.
Which we've got a great youth movement down there.
Yes.
It sounds great that Anthony is on that board because he's also of the younger generation.
He has, and he's got his little ones involved in the 4-H programs and stuff. And so look forward to good things happening with that group down there. And yeah, they're getting a young group down there, and I mean that's good because they're very energetic and. And we just commend them, and certainly we extend our support to them.
And they are both those young ladies are young folks who are recently married. I think Haley just had a child, and
she did.
I know Kristen just got married, and she and her husband have bought what she said was their little farm out towards
Dallas,
and
exactly.
They're planning on making their lives and livelihood
yeah.
here in Clay County.
And they've been working hard on it because I come through the other day, and I thought, what in the world is going on up there? And there's leaves blowing everywhere, and I thought. The wind ain't blowing, but what's going on? And when it kind of settled down, I seen her. She is in the middle of that and everything. So they're working hard on it, and I know that we certainly want to wish them their best. Continuing on with our resolutions is the resolution number 5 was to approve a budget amendment for the Clay County General Fund, and this was for the library. It was a $500 grant, tech grant, and where Judith and them out there works hard to. Get grants constantly to do things out there at the library, and this was a grant that she got. I think it was about a $500 grant that they got out there. And I certainly want to make everybody aware that we got our camera system up at the library, so it's being securely watched because we, you know, from time to time you have things that happens that you you wish wouldn't, but things like that happen. So anyway, we've got our security system up out there to where that you know that we want the library to be as safe for everybody that we and to do that as
just the facts of life in this day and age.
It is, and I want to thank Sheriff Department. Sheriff Boone was the one that helped us find what kind of system we needed. And we did that, and I think it wound up costing us a little less than $500, so that was great. And so we appreciate that, and I hope the Treasury Department, the guys, him and Billy and him, installed them and got them up and going and everything. So they're still tweaking it. I think they've still got a little issue with one or two of the cameras and stuff, but I know that the sheriff said he'd send one of his guys back out there that's familiar with that stuff. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that you know, that we got those cameras up and are going out there. Another resolution was a resolution for a budget amendment for our solid waste department. And this was insurance recovery and our oil grant that we completed. And we got we always apply for oil grants. Our oil grants are 100% grants, and but we have to spend the money, and you're aware of that, Thomas.
Yeah.
You have to spend the money, and then they'll reimburse you back once you get the project done. And we got that project done, and Philip and Ann and all the guys down there at Solid Waste, I want to extend my appreciation for them down there that working hard on that. I know that Ann, she does all the paperwork and stuff on all that stuff, working with my office, and certainly want to thank her for that, as well as Philip and all the staff down there. They do, I think they do.
Yes, they do.
And on the other note of the insurance recovery was for that we had the accident that happened back in December when the trash truck was involved in an accident out there toward Moss, and it
totaled the truck out, so the insurance has finally settled with us on that. And matter of fact, speaking as we're speaking, Philip and I think Ricky are gone to this morning to look at another truck. So hopefully we can we'll get another truck up and going here. And I want to thank everybody for being patient with us. I know that TDS is they've been helping us run the routes and stuff. And but hopefully here, if this truck will work out for that, we can get that back on and get back to a regular route for them. And I want to thank everybody out there for being patient with us, because I know that sometimes, you know, the dumpsters and stuff may not get emptied as often as we've been doing it. And thank y'all for helping us and being considerate of that and everything. So also we give the opportunity for Miss Lois Turner to give an update, but she chose not to give her update the other night due to the fact that we had several folks down there at the meeting the other night concerned about the announcement that we got about the closing of our hospital. And so her, as well as Dr. Young, gave the audit committee update, and he did that very briefly. And you know, for Dr. Young to do something briefly, you know, that's changed. But he was very courteous to do that, and I thank them both for that they wanted to extend what time that we wanted to give them to talk about that.
Okay, let's take a little short break here. Since you got to that subject, we might talk about that a little bit here, about the closing of the hospital and some other things. But right now, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute. You may have another resolution to conclude with, but if you don't, we'll get right straight and talk about the hospital.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me. You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. A couple of things I know I would bring about, and that is Cedar Hill Resort. I know there was a foreclosure sale, or an attempted foreclosure sale. I think they may have gathered out here on the front of the courthouse.
They did.
I think they still have to do that. If you come by someday and see a bunch of folks out there in suits and ties, we're not being invaded. Which office does take care of that? Renee's office?
No, I don't think that hers. Not if it's a bank foreclosure or something like that, it'll be through their group.
Okay. And Cedar Hill did not sell, but I think the bank that holds the majority of the paperwork for it has hired a management company, and I think they have hired a manager for Cedar Hill and that type thing, and they're going to try to do some upgrading, updating, and I think they had a little notice in one of the papers this week alluding to that, to maybe, you know, get it up to a an acceptable level again and place it on the market. And get, I know it's going to be operating during all this time, so that's great news for the lake and everything. They're going to be, Cedar Hill Resort is going to be operating and working, so no concern about that. So that's great news for us.
Yeah, I know that they're doing some repair work because they suffered a hit from a storm that came through a few weeks ago and damaged, I think, some of their slips up there as well as
right.
the dock area and stuff. So I know they're up there working and trying to get that all up back to par. And it's my understanding, just like you said, Thomas, that they're going to do some upgrades and stuff and then possibly, you know, have another sale. And they could possibly even have someone that's interested in looking at it as we speak. So.
And if it were turned to look like going to be a prosperous type thing, this management might want to decide they want to keep it.
Exactly. You never do know about these things. But.
Okay. I know we're getting ready to, you'd mentioned the hospital, and that has been, you know, the major topic of news here in the county ever since that announcement was made, and all the various repercussions and type things that go along with that. Dale, if you want to, I think maybe probably there's one thing that I know that you would probably like to explain right off the bat, because one of the first things that folks said, well, why doesn't the county assume this and manage and run that hospital?
Yeah.
And you have a very definite answer for that, don't you?
Well, we had, and again, I certainly want to extend my appreciation for all the those that attended the meeting the other night, and for the respect, and it was just it was overwhelming, and I want to thank everybody for coming because I know that everybody we are very concerned about the announcement that we got back on Friday the 25th, I believe is when it was up there about a couple of weeks ago that we were in a meeting that the executive team from Cookeville Regional League came and met with staff, and then they met with the local officials and the mayor and myself, and that their plans were to close the operations of the hospital. But they did also say before they left there that they had some interesting groups that were looking at it and that they weren't going to stop working on that. As they left there, I know Mr. Korth said, as I leave here today, I'm still working. And so that being said, we did yesterday meet with a group that came and toured the facility. They had met with Cookeville earlier in the morning, and then they came up yesterday afternoon and toured the facility. And so we're certainly wanting to extend our support to them or anyone, you know, because it was devastating and it will be devastating if that happens. And I won't be, you know, I won't be certainly I won't be positive here because we certainly want to continue to look for any avenues that we can to help in that. And I know that, you know, Thomas, you mentioned that the wording got out, you know, that the county may be, why can't the county take it over? And, of course, the discussions with our county attorney are not constitutional, that, you know, that the county can acquire a debt or operate a facility such as that. And but that being said, that don't stop us from extending our support.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we talked with the group yesterday, and they were very appreciative of it. And that's what they had asked me the question, said, and they were very positive that if the hospital, you know, continues to operate, will the community support it? And I told them I feel like they certainly
do. You know, that's something that you mentioned a word there, you know, that a lot of us, myself included, and I'm sure maybe even you, that have bypassed services that could have been done there at that hospital and went somewhere else. And I think maybe this has made us realize, hey, you know, if we want this, we've got to keep it, and we've got to keep it by...
Absolutely.
By going there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that was talked about. And so I'm not giving up. And,
no, absolutely not.
And I, as I extended down there to the group the other night, that continue to pray, and because I know there is certainly great power in prayer, and we want to, and I want to thank everyone out there, because I mean everybody that has called, or you know, our legislators, and they're certainly aware of this, and they are concerned as well.
that if there's anything, and we left yesterday with the group that we talked to, and then expressed that we will make the phone calls, whatever we need necessary, to our legislators and our Congress and Senate, and to if there's any aid or assistance that can be done, you know, for a group, that we're certainly going to be on the phone helping them, you know, find that out.
You know, and we as citizens should have realized from the beginning that Cookeville Regional was actually giving us a grace period to turn that hospital around, because, you know, no place of business can continue. I mean, basically, the Cookeville Regional Hospital gave the people of Clay County a tremendous gift for 3 years, didn't they, Dale?
They acquired that in 2012, I believe it was, whenever they acquired the facility up there. And so they in the meeting, you know, they explained to us, you know, how much investment that they had put in. A little over $12 million has been invested in it over the past few years and stuff to try to, you know, to work hard to turn it around, and they're still working. So, I mean, you know, we certainly want to, as far as, you know, I want to thank our county attorney, Mr. White, for explaining to the commissioners as well as the audience the other night that it's not that the county is not wanting to stand up and say, well, we can't do anything about it. We just can't do certain things about it, and because it's not, you know, it goes against the Constitution. And that, like I said a moment ago, that being said, we're extending our support and whatever we can do, you know, to help assist someone, whether it may be getting them into contact with some of our state and federal folks to talk or to get the message out to the community and everything, you know, that if we're going to make this work, you know, we're all going to have to, you know, everybody's going to have to, we're going to have to pull together. And I know, I told him, I said, you know, I know this county and the people want it, you know, we'll bond together and Lord be our helper and everything. We'll continue to support it as in any way that we can. Like
okay,
that.
And let's talk a little bit about the, you know, the effect of this. And, of course, we know the first effect is the loss of medical services,
that,
which include, you know, services for the nursing home, emergency services for anyone here in the county, and which gets into the EMS folks.
Sure.
And a helicopter landing pad, all those things that have been provided for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, that there's the potential for that no longer being available, isn't there?
It is. And of course, first of all, you know, anytime you get word that you got a facility that employs folks is closing, it hurts. It hurts. It's devastating, and displace of workers and
150,
that.
I believe, is the basement.
I think they told me the last count that they gave me was about 146, okay. About 100 being full time and part time, hour, and then about 40 something part time. But
and 40 hours a week. For that many people, at minimum wage is a big, even at minimum wage, you know, we know we don't fit that, but that's a lot of payroll.
Yeah, it's a big payroll, it is, and that hurts. And whether they commute here or they live here, you know,
right.
it still affects us because, and then that being said, our economy. I mean, it affects your economy, but when you get the word a facility such as that, it hurts, but it's kind of a double whammy. It's a double blow because it affects, yes, the workers, the displacement of their jobs, but it also affects, you know, the health and the well-being of our citizens.
All of our citizens.
And going back to, you mentioned there a moment ago, our emergency services, our EMS, and the time frame that it takes, you know, to get someone to a facility to get them stabilized or whatever it may be, depending on the situation and circumstance, and to where that they can transport them on to another facility that can take care of whatever need may be. But, you know, that time frame is going to increase double, if not triple, in some cases.
Right. You know, and we have, you know, with our nursing home facility, the Salina Rehab Center, you know, we have lots of folks there that are going to be in need of emergency services. I'm sure lots of them on a daily basis that are 10 minutes away.
Sure.
And that is a period of life-saving time, isn't it?
It is, and I mean, you know, a lot of times, and you do hear them pretty often. You know, we're having to make a transport from the nursing home up to the hospital, and yes, that would be affected. And I know that we have, you know, and another thing, you know, some of our local hospitals that surround our area and everything, you know, that there's things, and I know our doctors, that I know Dr. Copeland is located here, as well as Dr. Horn and Dr. Aaron and Dr. Scott. And so they've got to, you know, be looking at the possibility, okay, where am I going to send my patients to? And so, I mean, it's a lot of factors and a lot of, you know, that are being affected here by that. So, but like I said a moment ago, Thomas, I'm not giving up hope, and I'll never give up hope, you know. And we'll continue to help try our very best to support anyone that's looking. And I know, like I said a moment ago, that group came through yesterday afternoon, and
that's great news. Know that folks are interested.
It is, and I'm excited about that. And but nothing definite there. But we're hoping that maybe that a good decision will come out of that.
Okay. Now another thing that's you know, I don't know how much of a topic, and that is the bypass here in Salina. To allow the big trucks to not have to try to get around through the middle of Salina. And I know that we've all heard, you know, pro and con things about that, you know, that a bypass will kill the downtown, this type of thing. But I think I heard Kevin Donaldson give a figure the other day at one of the meetings that we have like nearly 400 of those big trucks coming through here on a daily basis now. And the projection is that may increase, you know, add another zero on that on a daily basis, trying to get through the little town of Salina here in a number of years, 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at 3,000 or 4,000 of those things trying to get through here.
Right.
And, of course, that's due to the shift in traffic where these truck drivers don't want to go through Nashville anymore.
Exactly. And
get in that traffic.
And that was the numbers that we got from TDOT, that they come up and you see these little markers or little black things that they lay across the road, and they're counts. They call it the count and stuff, and they're basing that off of that. And when me and Kevin was in a meeting not long ago, and a TDOT meeting, and when they handed us that, me and him both was looking at each other, and I said, that's got to be a typo. And he said, and he thought that too. But he checked in with them. He did some research, and he had TDOT to go back, and they sent a statement back and said, no, it's not. It's what we predicted, you know, that in I think about 20 years, 25 years, something like that, and that it would end truck traffic. And now we're not talking about just personal vehicles, talking about truck traffic, would increase, you know, around the 3,000, you know, mark like that. And that would be, I can't imagine, you know, that.
Well, you know, something that we need to think about there, and we're talking about, you know, maybe deserting downtown. Well, you know, with that kind of traffic coming through on a bypass with plenty of space, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to see a Love's on one side of that bypass and a Pilot on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because with that many trucks coming through here, we don't have to get all 4,000 of them stopping. Just a few of them.
Exactly.
to bring an economic boom in here in sales tax money and lots of things.
And then
it will free up downtown and make it more shopper friendly for the folks that actually want to come here and shop and not worry about getting run over by a semi when they cross the street.
And I think this is due to everybody that has worked so hard in the past few years, you know, to get the attention of TDOT, you know, that the importance of, you know, that what trucks, and we love our truckers, don't
absolutely,
get me wrong.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely, but I mean, you know, that, and they would, I'm sure that if they had the choice of going around easier way, they would do it than battling around the square like that.
And they don't do a lot of shopping here in town anyway.
But hopefully we can get them to stop, maybe buy a bottle of pop or maybe some diesel fuel or something like that. But anyway, hopefully, you know, that we're going to, that's going to happen.
We're about to run out of time again. I don't know how we manage to do this every time.
I don't know, but Thomas, I would like to, please, everybody pray about our hospital, and we are certainly want to do everything that we possibly can to support and help them, you know, keep our hospital going.
And the winner of today's cake is Wendell Cherry.
Well.
So, Wendell, you will need to go out by the chamber and pick up, I think that they're doing a gift card certificate now to you can take over the director. Don't bring your shotgun with you now.
Just, no, come
on.
Bring your guitar. That'd
yeah,
be fine.
Guitar,
we'll sit down and pick and grin a little bit. Yeah.
But Wendell Cherry has won the cake today. And with that, I guess it's about time we shut the barn door here.
Oh.
Have you got the all way? We got to
get
this week.
If I don't do this, they'll get me.
Yeah. Don't cut us off.
Indoor yard sale at the Clay County Community Center this Saturday, February the 9th, from 8 to 1. And that's support the senior citizens. So come on down and be with us. And then next Friday night, the Star Mountain Band is going to be down there from 5 to 8. That's February the 15th. Come on out and be with us and support the senior citizens.
And with that, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully it'll be here on WBFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.